So I do have handouts if you want them at the end, and I'm going to do my best to distill about 2.5 years of work down to 19 minutes, so bear with me. So I'm presenting basically how I developed an instrument of teacher work stress, nothing to disclose. Now, because this was my dissertation and, you know, my committee said, you know, you have to graduate at some point this decade, I did have to choose a population to norm this with. I normed it with ELL teachers. These are the teachers who work with immigrant and refugee students. And the reason I chose this is I have a background working with these teachers and these students, but also there are a lot of roles that these teachers play. However, future use of this measure should be and can be adapted to multiple other teacher populations. So just a note there. Okay, so little research has been paid attention to the ELL setting and to ELL teachers. And so the purpose of this measure was to develop an ecological measure, a measure that looks at various domains of stress. And as I go through this, this should make more sense to those of you who aren't familiar with the ecological theory. This is going the wrong way. Okay. In addition, this project was intended to address multiple problems with teacher stress measures. First and foremost, I was shocked to find that there actually aren't a lot of teacher stress measures, and the ones that exist had certain problems. First of all, this project needed to focus on stress events rather than outcomes of stress. So, for example, burnout was a popular item on stress measures. Now, burnout is important. However, if you're looking at prevention and you're measuring burnout, it's already a little bit too late. So the theoretical model here was I wanted to make sure that my items were stress, not stress outcomes like burnout. In addition, and this is a little bit of a psychometric issue, I needed to differentiate between does this event happen to you first and foremost, and then if it does, how stressful is it? And that helps this measure be more of a diagnostic tool and for better use in diagnostics. Capturing a broad group of stressors, again, I'm going back to ecology, where stress comes from a lot of different areas in the school's ecosystem. And again, you'll see these examples and what I'm talking about as I go through the measure. And then again, because I did have to norm this, I chose to norm it with ELL teachers who are working with immigrant and refugee students. So, first there was a pilot study. This was a qualitative study in which we interviewed teachers, ELL teachers in the Chicagoland area, just about their work experiences. So we didn't even know yet that they were stressed. We wanted to know what are your work experiences like. Most of them were Chicago public school teachers. A few of them were in the suburbs close to Chicago, so that's why we use the Chicagoland language. We used a structured interview methodology to explore, again, just their work lives. Tell me about what happens at work for you. And for those of you who are interested, we used Strauss and Corbin grounded theory. It's very common to use in qualitative theory now. And basically, why am I talking about this? Because we used a lot of this data to develop the domains and the items for the current stress measure. Ooh, that's like way off. Sorry about that. And so basically what we found was that these teachers were stressed. I mean, we found a lot of other things, but we found that these teachers were stressed. So that led to the current study, which is to look at, well, what events are causing stress for these teachers? Okay. So I'm going to talk about the development of the instrument as quickly as I can, including the domain structure, items, and response scale. So let's start with the domains. Domains. So this is where really ecology comes into play. What do I mean by ecology? For example, systemic impacts. Things like federal, state, and local school policies and practices that impact teachers in a stressful way. And when I get to the items next, I'm going to give you some specific examples of what I mean by that. Social support climate. The overall climate of the school and the social interactions between ELL teachers and other school staff, that may be principals, that may be administrators, other teachers, and support staff. And these two areas in particular are areas that other stress measures almost never, if not at all, covered. None of these events run other teacher stress measures. Formal job characteristics. This is mostly, so there's actually four teacher stress measures that I found that had some use. They were not widely used, but they were used enough to kind of include them in my comparisons. And the majority of items, if they weren't burnout events, they were these. They were the formal job characteristics, the things that are explicitly outlined in a teacher's job duty. Teaching classes, managing students, paperwork, those types of things. So, of course, it's important to include those here, because it's a large focus of their job. And then informal job characteristics. Now, this is true of all teachers. And so, in the future, I do want to norm this with special education teachers and mainstream teachers, but specifically for ELL teachers, they juggle a lot of responsibilities outside of what is in their job description. Emotional support for students and families. They do so much with their families outside of the classroom that this was important to include. So I'm going to give you some examples of these items by domain so that you can see what I'm talking about. So systemic impacts, we ended up with 12 items, and here are some examples. Preparing ELL students for federal and state mandated testing. These are these NCLB standards that you see in schools. They vary by state, but they all trickle down into different school systems. No availability of ongoing training or professional development. Social support climate, we ended up with 10 items or events. Seeing ELL students treated in negative ways by other school adults. I had trouble finding other English language learner teachers to talk about a school-related issue. Now, something that there's a lot that I'm not going to be able to get into, but you'll notice the language, the first three items, we have a lot of those types of items where if we didn't have to use the I phrase, that's how we phrased it, and then about half of our statements are these I phrases, like that last one. And that was something that we had to go through and standardize. Okay, formal job characteristics. We came up with 14. You see the numbers are getting bigger, the number of items. Doing administrative paperwork that mainstream teachers didn't have to do. Teaching in an improvised or isolated space, such as hallways, stairwells, basements, or trailers. And that was common for ELL teachers. And then informal job characteristics. 20 items that we found in this category. I ran a program or out-of-class activity to help parents, advocating for my students outside of the classroom with other school personnel. There were a lot of these items. And so those are the domains, the ecological structure, and some of the items that were on this measure. So the last thing that we needed to do was decide on the response scale. What we decided was to do it this way. Within the last 3 months, has this happened to you? If so, how stressful was it? The first is a yes-no dichotomous response that will pull out all the no's so they don't get analyzed. The next is a 5-point Likert scale on a scale of 1 to 5. How stressful was it? Now, the reason that we use this is because Ed Trickett, my advisor and co-author, has developed other stress measures, particularly an acculturative stress measure, for immigrant and refugee populations. And so this has actually been validated in other measure development projects. but also they pulled this from different, they put them together based on different instruments. So, what did we do? What did I do? I launched an online survey to a national sample of ESL teachers, TESOL, Teachers of English to Speakers of Other Languages, and NABE, National Association of Bilingual Education, were instrumental in helping me get this out online to a national sample. I used Qualtrics software. It included a demographic survey, a pretty substantial demographic survey that asked a lot about teachers' backgrounds, where were they working, what kind of settings were they working in, how long had they been there, what kind of certification did they have, et cetera, et cetera. The current ELL teacher stress measure, the teacher stress inventory, and the Maslach burnout inventory. I'm going to talk about those last two in a minute. Actually, I'm going to talk about those now. So this is a traditional psychometric design. I decided not to talk a lot about this. It's very traditional, and quite frankly, it's not really that sexy. And, you know, you guys are here at 8 a.m. in the morning, so I'm going to talk about some of the less traditional analyses that we did. I'm happy to talk about these afterwards. Basically, when you're norming a measure, you need to do reliability psychometrics. I did a confirmatory factor analysis, and then validity. Discriminant validity, and what you do is you pick another similar measure that was the TSI, and use that to do discriminant validity analyses. And then, although there are not a lot of teacher stress measures, the Maslach burnout inventory is the measure that is used in education. It is used worldwide. So it was really pretty obvious that that was the measure I needed to use to look at predictive validity. So over time, does my measure predict burnout? Because we have such a great measure to use. However, again, if you're measuring burnout, it's a little bit too late. Stress has already impacted teachers. So the current study is trying to avoid that. Okay. So talking about the sample, 98 participants with complete data. If you are interested in online survey techniques, you should note this. 42% is about the same rate as like a traditional mailing survey methodology. It was really, really hard, especially given my population, really busy teachers, and the length of my survey without having some kind of incentivization. I think I was able to raffle off four $25 gift certificates, so that's not a great incentivization for teachers to spend about 20 minutes filling out this online survey. I think I had about 250 who logged in, and so I was like watching and I was so excited, and then in the end I'm like, none of them completed it. They got about halfway through and they're like, I'm done. So for this study, I used only complete data. Not surprisingly, 85% female. It's sort of, you know, it's like that across teaching, I think. 80% were between the ages of 30 to 59. 29 states. I was excited to get 29 states. It would have been nice to get all of them, but those were the ones represented in the sample. School setting, 47% urban, 40% suburban, 14% rural. Rural would be a really interesting study in and of itself. Because there is no federal standard for ELL systems, every school sort of just figures it out on their own. It's not like the special education system, which has strong structure and laws. So teachers in rural settings, particularly ELL settings, are doing very different things than urban and suburban teachers. Grade level, relatively distributed. 40% taught English language arts. Again, because ELL systems are so different, people want to know what are ELL teachers doing. A lot of them are teaching language arts. Most of them are teaching multiple subjects. So maybe they have an ELL science, an ELL history, that kind of classroom setup. Okay. So, on top of all the psychometrics, there were a lot of different additional analyses that I did, descriptive measures. Everything had to be done both by the whole measure and then by those four domains. Correlations, analysis of items by frequency and mean severity. That third bullet is what I'm going to show you. That's a little bit unique and different from what others do. Exclusion of items, it was a structured, it was a long and structured process. And then validation, again, those are the psychometrics. So I'm going to focus on that third point, analysis of frequency and mean severity. And I did this with a statistician and Ed Trickett, who really is a theorist in his own right. So this is a very theoretical sort of process. So what you see here is I took the frequency, all of the items, I lined them up by how frequently they were responded to. Remember, we had 98 participants. What you see is the top, or the most frequent, and the bottom, the least frequent. So for example, 95 teachers said that working after school and at home to get all of my job responsibilities done was something that happened to them. Spending time differentiating instruction, 93 said that happened to them. Doing administrative paperwork that mainstream teachers didn't have to do, 91. And what you see there is the domains, informal, formal job characteristics. The bottom ones, organizing service learning, doesn't happen a whole lot. Being identified as not highly qualified or low performing, this happens, by the way, a lot in special education, which is my background, didn't really happen a lot for these teachers. Not having a regularly assigned classroom space, luckily, did not happen a whole lot. Happened, but not a whole lot. So now, what I did was I then did the same thing for the mean severity or stressfulness. If this happened, how stressful was it? Organized it by item. Again, you see the top three most stressful and the bottom three least stressful. Not having adequate time for curriculum planning was the top or most stressful item for these teachers. Having a conversation with mainstream teacher who was not at all supportive of ELL students, very stressful. Working after school and at home to get all of my job responsibilities done, stressful. Asked by a mainstream teacher to discuss an ELL issue with them, not at all stressful. Teachers may have found that, you know, an enjoyable part of their job. Taking time to acculturate students. Remember, a lot of these are tribal students who may have never been to school before, have never been to the U.S. before, may have gotten little to no information before coming here. Wasn't really that stressful for them. And then explaining to students safety concerns, similar. Not really that stressful for them. Now, what you see, by the way, is not having adequate time and working after home and school to get my job responsibilities done are similar items. So when I had to decide on exclusion criteria, one of the criteria was looking at similar items and deciding whether do those both stay in or do we remove one. Did a lot of talking with ELL teachers back and forth throughout this process, as many as I could. In the end, 40 items were retained. The factor structure held up so that the domain structure works, and validity, reliability, all that stuff worked. Okay, conclusion, I just made it. So, it's a useful tool, it's helpful in diagnostics, it's also helpful in intervention and prevention, preventing burnout, but also taking a look at, for example, where are most of the stressors coming from in a school system? Are they coming from the system? Are they coming from the school climate? Are they coming because of all these informal job duties that they're doing? So that was the purpose of setting up the measure in this way. Oh, I'm sorry. And it addresses, as I said before, the methodological and conceptual issues that other teacher stress measures had. Okay.